again with that precious old-time greeting. The Lord bless you and make you a blessing. And we have been praying much that this program would be a help to you in any problems you have for this day. And we greet you with the words of our theme song. Lift up your head, smile through your tears. God's never failed you down through the years. He has watched over you, cared for his own. He'll not fail now, he's still on the throne. Dark though the shadows just now may be, soon through the mist the pathway you'll see. Faith to the promise unfailing clings. God's on the throne, prayer changes things. Someone has written, I wish there were some wonderful place called the land of beginning again, where all our mistakes and all our heartaches and all our poor selfish grief could be dropped like a shabby old coat at the door, never put on again. I wish we could come on it all unaware, like the hunter who finds a lost trail. And I wish that the one whom our blindness has done the greatest injustice of all could be at the gate like an old friend that waits for the comrade he's gladdest to hail. So I wish there were some wonderful place called the land of beginning again, where all the mistakes and all the heartaches and poor selfish grief could be dropped like a shabby old coat at the door and never put on again. Oh, I'm so glad to tell you, my friend, that there is such a place as that. You'll find that place no matter how deep the sin, no matter how dark the past has been. You'll find that place in these verses that I read you from 1 John, the first chapter, beginning with the 5th verse. This then is a message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. But if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, and the truth is not in us. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. But if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, now here is that place where you can drop the shabby old coat of the past life. Here it is. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say that we have no sin, we make God a liar and his word is not in us. You know, we have been encouraging you lately to read and claim the promises of God in his wonderful word. But though we've been doing that, and we do say again, according to God's word, that they're exceeding great and precious promises, and he'll back them with his power and his ability. But I must say again that there are conditions attached to these promises. These conditions must be met. God sets his own terms. And any light and superficial attitude which says, oh, just step out on the promises and claim them, the work is done, just claim them, that will be met with keen disappointment. For these conditions are plainly set forth in God's word. You read your Bible, you'll find them. But how blessed it is when you meet God's terms, you submit to his conditions, and the wealth of his blessings and riches just come tumbling down on you then. But these are the keys that unlock the treasure vaults of heaven, knowing the conditions attached to each promise. I'm not trying to discourage you in claiming the promise. God not only wills, but longs for you to have your every need supplied, the desire of your heart met. He says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he'll give thee the desires of thy heart. But note the condition, delight thyself in the Lord. God can't fail. He said it, and so it's so. And he's never failed in one of all his good promises, and he isn't going to begin to fail with you. But the terms must be met. You delight yourself in the Lord, and he gives you the desire of your heart. God's terms aren't hard. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy. My burden is light. My yoke is easy, he said. To the unsaved one listening in, oh, there's so many wonderful promises for you, for forgiveness of sin, joy that'll come to you, peace, eternal life. Well, I couldn't begin to quote them. I couldn't begin to tell you all. They're there for you, and they'll completely change your life. But you note the scripture. You must confess your sin. You must come to God with a humble heart, a broken, contrite spirit. Sin can still be forgiven, but you can't hide the sin. Someone has said that dust under the bed is bad from a hygienic standpoint, but from a spiritual standpoint, covering up sin is dangerous. God's word says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth it shall be forgiven. The mistress asked the maid, Emmy, did you sweep under the rug? Yes, Mom, she answered. I sweep everything under the rug. Well, it's a policy that some people follow, but things swept under the rug have a habit of coming back to harm and haunt us. You can't even pretend all is well, for you'll be exposed and humiliated and hurt when the cover-up is found out. Be sure your sin will find you out, God's word says in Numbers 32 and in 23. So accept God's terms for forgiveness of sin. Meet his conditions. The condition that you repent of the sin. Turn away from it with godly sorrow. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for help. God will help you do this. If you feel that you cannot do it yourself, that you have no strength to do it, I assure you that as soon as you confess you're a sinner and lift your eyes to Jesus Christ the Savior and ask him to help you, that moment the strength you need will be yours. You can turn away from sin. God will help you. And there will come into your life such a change in freedom as you've never known. Remember, you can't hide sin. You're miserable, unhappy living with it. Accept God's conditions through Christ's atonement. Get rid of the sin through the shed blood of Calvary. Then what shackles are broken? What joy and liberty is yours? Turn to God for deliverance. Now there's the condition again to the promise, plainly stated. Is it so hard after all? Are God's conditions so unfair? When he gave his only son for you, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. His word says, he that spared not his own son, but offered you up for him all, how will he not also with him freely give you all things?